Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
My next guest is Eric Guise. Eric is a media specialist and technology coach with more than a decade of experience as a teacher, is a co-creator of Got Tech Ed, the podcast. Eric, known as Guise, has teamed up with a longtime friend and office mate, Nick Johnson, to share its educational technology expertise with teachers around the world. Eric is a recognized professional development and educational technology expert who has presented at countless events, including ISTE, NJECC, and the New Jersey Science Teachers Convention. Eric was named the 2016 Biology Teacher of the Year by the New Jersey Biology Teachers Association and recently completed his EdD in Leadership in Digital Transformation in Educational Technology. Welcome to the podcast, Eric.
I'm so thankful that I'm able to be on here with you. Thank you so much.
Well, it's a pleasure having you on, and it's always fun to interview fellow podcasters and kind of hear their story. And, you know, every podcast has their own niche, so we'll talk about that as well. So we'll start off with what the question I ask everybody. Tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
Yeah, so I know this can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different educators, but the way that I took this when you first asked me is my trenches come from my self-made reflections of my teaching practice. And I do this all the time. I find it very healthy for myself. It works for me. And these reflections often cause me to shift my practice. And I really think it's just part of the teacher growth and teachers being lifelong learners. But I guess my first revelation or reinvention of myself happened after my first year of teaching. I reflected on it. I mean, my students did fine. Their test scores were good. Their state scores were good. But I just wasn't happy with the level of engagement that they were having in the classroom. I felt that I was doing too much teaching from the book and cookie cutter labs and stuff like that. And I found ways to make it doable for them to enjoy class, but it just wasn't the response that I wanted. And you know, coming out of college, you have this, like, I'm going to be the best teacher. I'm going to conquer the world, that type of a complex. And I definitely have that. But like I said, the scores were fine, but I wanted to find ways to bring in engagement just so they're doing more than just understanding the content or studying for a test. I wanted them to be engaged. I didn't need them to love biology, but I wanted them to be interested in the moment, in the discussion, in the connections that they can have with the content and their peers. So what I decided to do is find real world experiences that I could use as teaching moments in my classroom. And I decided to do a trip out to Isle Royale, which is a moose and wolf study. Isle Royale is in the middle of Lake Superior. So if you look at the K in Lake, that's where it's at. And it's pretty big. It's around 45 miles long and 6 miles wide. So it is a substantial island there. And it's the home of the longest moose and wolf study. So I stayed out there, lived off my backpack for 10 days, gained all this wonderful experience. And I have a whole bunch of short stories that I could share with my students to teach biology concepts. So that was definitely the first one. And then you fast forward 10 years later, and we're in the point where I decided that I was going to go from science teacher to tech specialist. I was offered that position, very hesitant to take it. I had to reflect on what my mission was as an educator, and that was to impact and engage students. And I felt like if I could help their teachers be a little better at implementing technology the way that I have in my class, and I could share that knowledge with them, that has the impact of making a larger impact to the student body. So I did that. And I guess the biggest challenge there was just getting teachers to trust me enough to come into their class and work with educational technology. And fast forward a little bit further, we hit the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So it's always shifting.
Yeah.
And with the pandemic, we have these long days. I worked in my basement. I had three kids running around upstairs. I'm trying to find that balance. Everybody knows that story. It's everybody, every teacher's story, mm-hmm. I feel mm-hmm. like. But my goal is to reflect again on what I was doing before and realize that that's not going to work anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't mm-hmm. need more ed tech tools being pushed out. We need to reinvent the ones that we know really well to serve different purposes. And I basically spent my days helping teachers develop their or refine their ed tech toolkit so they could better serve their students. So we're hopefully coming out of this pandemic, but we mm-hmm. definitely have some positive takeaways that we could take from that. So I try to find the good in the pandemic experience within education. And I think this is leading probably to my fourth major shift in my career of mm-hmm. teaching practice, which I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Like you said, kind of focusing on tools that work for the teachers, right? Cause I know at the initial shutdown, everything was being sent out and pushed out and like, you can use this, this and that. And it just was so overwhelming. So I think, you know, some teachers learned new tools. Some teachers kept using what they had been using, but like, you know, having somebody like you to support what worked best for them rather than saying, oh, you got to try this, this and that was definitely a, I think the best way to help teachers not get overwhelmed. And, you know, I really enjoyed hearing about that research project. And was that something that you kind of had been advised to do by a colleague, or is it something you looked up and just went and did yourself?
Yeah, I knew that I wanted real world experience. Mm-hmm. So I had to go find it. No one from my district has done this type of a study. It was actually through Earthwatch. Okay. Which they are still around, but they don't have the Moose and Wolf study anymore. Mm-hmm. Michigan Tech, I think took that over, and they're collecting their own people. So you still can do the study, but you would just go through, if you look up Isle Royal Moose and Wolf study, you can go there. But I had to look at a couple different programs, and that was the one that piqued my interest the most, because it's going to take me out of my comfort zone. And mm-hmm. for me, people learn the best, in my opinion, when they're out of their comfort zone. The learning happens when they try to go back to equilibrium, when they go back mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. what they're comfortable with. Getting back to that's learning. So I knew I wanted to do something that's going to challenge me, but something that I was super interested in. That checked all the boxes. So that's the one that I ended up going with. And I ended up going back with students on another trip after that, mm-hmm. which was also very rewarding as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not often I hear about, you know, science teachers that actually take students out to explore in kind of that wilderness area and really, you know, like you said, real world applications. So, you know, so important. We'll talk a little bit about the podcast, Got Tech Ed. And, you know, in your description of the podcast, you guys cover a range of topics, including pedagogy, trends, and lesson ideas, but it's all centered around educational technology. So tell me about kind of how you all got started, and then maybe how it's shifted in the past couple of years, and maybe how often you guys push out episodes and kind of the, just the format.
Yeah. So we started off because, my co-host Nick Johnson, he's an awesome teacher, awesome friend of mine. He had a master's, assignment that he mm-hmm. had to do. Mm-hmm. And I had an assignment for my doctorate that they kind of lined up and they matched, where the goal of the assignment was to present professional development in a new way. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we came up with the podcast. We asked both of our professors if it would be able to meet both of the needs of both of our courses and if we could do that. And they said, yeah, but we want you to do three episodes mm-hmm. to meet the requirements. And so we did three episodes. And then my professor really pushed me to publish those on iTunes back then, but Apple Podcasts now. And we did that and we got some good traction and we really liked doing it. Mm-hmm. I don't the talking is not my forte. Mm-hmm. When it comes to podcasting, I was super nervous the first time I did it. I'm getting a little better at it. At least I hope, I think I am. And so we just kept it going there, and we've gone every, we've released an episode once every 2 weeks on Monday. Mm-hmm. And we're happy to release on Monday our 100th episode. So that's a big milestone for us. I know that you've already accomplished that feat, I think, already. But, we have been consistent. And that was one of the things that that's one of our goals, is to stay consistent, continue to serve teachers. Our whole goal is to provide solutions to missing functionality of tech. So if mm-hmm. you need a piece of tech to engage or enhance a lesson, and you can't find that tech tool, we want to provide those tech tools for you. We want to give you ways that you could use that tech tool, and then also provide some templates for that. So that's what we do on our podcast.
And is it a lot of time just you all speaking about those tools and having the conversation, or do you invite guests on as well?
So the first year, it was basically just us two. I think we had two guests our first year. Our second year, we had maybe five, and we're slowly getting more. I think we were finding our groove before the pandemic, and then everyone was so technology'd out that it was even a struggle for us to get time to record, edit, and all that stuff. So, but we do invite guests onto the show, or every once in a while someone reaches out, and as long as they provide like something that they would be able to add to the scope of our podcast, usually we'll work with them and we'll go from there. But I would say 75-80% of our episodes are just us two, and then we'll have guests the remaining portion.
Yeah, you guys are pretty much the experts, since you're kind of in the trenches with the students working day to day. Like you said, there are sometimes people that can provide a little bit to add to the conversation. Besides a podcast, you all have been doing several things, such as you did have an EduMentor Twitter chat. But you said it's not going anywhere, but you can tell a little bit about that. And then you also have content online. So talk to me a little bit about where teachers can find some content.
Yeah, so the Twitter chat was called the EduMentor chat, hashtag EduMentor. And that was basically anytime we had a guest, we wanted to highlight them even more, bring them on as a follow-up. Once the pandemic started, that kind of threw a wrench in things. And it was probably even a little bit before the pandemic, if I'm totally honest, because we wanted to take that Twitter chat and make it into a YouTube live video chat almost. Mm-hmm. And we did that a little bit, and then the pandemic hit, and then we kind of haven't revisited that because Nick's family's growing, my family grew, and the other person that we were doing that with, their family grew. And then since then, we've started other projects from there. But if you want to find anything with Got Tech the podcast, you could just go to gottech.com. You could go on Twitter. Nick's is at Nick Got Tech. Mine's at Geis Got Tech. And our podcast is at We Got Tech. And we love when we are able to interact with new people and our current audience. And typically, we send them stickers and stuff when we do that, just to try to encourage that a little bit, because we truly feel that we all work together for a common purpose, all of us meaning educators, and that we are better together when we are working as one and trying to get everyone better and share your expertise. That's a big thing, is sharing your knowledge in order to make the...
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
The next person next to you a little bit better with their practice. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's all important stuff.
Yeah, and you will have a EdTech bundle as well. Talk to me a little bit about what is in the bundle and some of the tools that teachers can use through that bundle.
Yeah, so that is a new project, I should say. And if you go to myedtechbundle.com, you can find this site. And basically, we know that teachers, we found this, especially over the pandemic, that they don't have enough time to try out a tool during that free promotional period. What we're finding is that teachers, they like to work on it for a couple days and then their life gets busy. And then by the time they come back to it, the trial's over. So what we did is we partnered with several different ed tech tools to make those trials a little bit longer at a very low price. So for example, you could get three tools for $5. And what that does is it's going to allow you to have, if the site gives you a month free or 2 weeks free, there's going to be a selected amount of time on top of that. For example, Pear Deck is always free. So go over there. If you're a new user, never used Pear Deck before, go over there, grab Pear Deck. It's free. It will always be free on our site. But we have tools like Kami. Kami, you're going to get a 3 month additional trial to Kami if you choose that one. We have Storyboard that. We have a new gamification site called Bamboozle that's really good. We have a lot of tools that have to do with content creation, whether it's teacher or student content creation. Nick and I are both really big into that, like Viasme, Book Creator, and those types of PictoChart. And we have several other tools on there that will allow teachers to just get more time to get familiar, to see if that's something that they really want to invest their time or ask their supervisors to invest time. But like I said, you could get three of them for $5, five tools for $6, or 10 tools for $8. So it's a very small fee. That fee allows us to keep the site up and running and all the certificates that we need and everything. Our goal is to make ed tech a little bit more accessible and a little bit more affordable, even if it is for a small period of time. But go over there, Moat, Slip and Slide, Satori, Classhook. These are the ones that are off the top of my head. We have over 20 tools over there. And I think teachers who go over there and give it a shot will like what they see. And what I'd like to do is offer your listeners, anyone that listens to this, I will put, or I'll give you a code to put in the show notes. And if they go over to my EdTech bundle, I'll just give them three free tools just for listening to your podcast and taking the time to, you know, be a part of the conversation.
Well, that's great. You know, and I think just that price point that you mentioned, like three tools for five, and, you know, it's a very, very cheap price point to have that extended trial period, or, you know, just a time to try it out. And what I always, you know, kind of the experience I had when I've used tech tools is, you know, I didn't always want to go through kind of how to learn how to use it. And there's a lot of tutorials on some of the sites, but if you're in a building that might not have a tech coach, right, which some buildings don't, you're kind of learning that on your own. So like you said, that's a good way to, you know, try out tools and maybe hear what other teachers are doing and, you know, reach out to you all through the site. So, you know, I'll definitely put that in the show notes. And in the pre-chat, we talked a little bit about our dissertation work. So we both went to Capella University, and, you know, it's a way for busy professionals to achieve a doctorate, you know, for doing an online model. And your doctorate, as I mentioned in the intro, is in leadership and digital transformation and educational technology, which I wasn't even aware that they offered, because mine was just in educational leadership. But tell me a little bit about some of your research project. You said that you did get the podcast started as one of your assignments.
Yeah, I will tell you this. I don't know if that's still an option at Capella. I know that they were changing it, and they changed it a couple times during, you know, my short tenure there, as far as what that name is going to be. But yeah, I mean, for the most part, the classes I really enjoyed, because it gave me the autonomy to go and explore topics that interest me and receive credit while doing it. I learned to be a decent writer. I don't want to say I'm a good writer, but I learned to be a decent writer. And that is something that was a personal challenge for me. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's just because I had a little bit of imposter syndrome or I just wasn't confident in my writing, but I did perfectly fine. So with that, but basically I learned how to deal with challenges, how to overcome those challenges, no matter how frustrating it may get. I worked myself through it. And to be honest, it taught me a little bit of resilience, more so than what I already had. And it led me to a lot of different awesome relationships with educators along the way and after. So, I mean, my dissertation on itself was how professional development can influence the efficacy levels of teachers when operating a one-to-one curriculum with Chromebooks. That's a mouthful, so I always say it differently, but it is what it is. And I worked with three awesome teachers. I developed a curriculum. They got introduced to different ed tech tools and how they could use it in their classroom. And based on my professional development, we tried to see how a one-to-one mentorship between a tech coach and a teacher can impact the efficacy levels of teachers using technology in the classroom.
So. And what was the outcome?
So, you know, for a lot of time, it's just scared of the unknown. It's a new thing. I'm intimidated by it, or I'm afraid to mess up. When I asked them about that, they were like, yeah, I fail in lessons, you know, from time to time, but I know how to rebound. Adding a tech tool really puts another layer on top of that. But since part of the professional development was working through it with the ed tech coach, having the ed tech coach there to support you through a lesson, and then just having the ed tech coach there as a supporter in case you need help. And then the third class period, they would just teach it by themselves, and we would reflect on that experience. And overall, it was a positive outcome. And the tough thing is finding a way for districts to get that person. The tech coaches are rare. We had them, and we were going strong for a long time in New Jersey. And as the years went on, it seems like that position is getting repurposed and expanded. So that type of a tech coach is now becoming a little endangered, at least on the East Coast. So, I mean, it's a challenge for districts to do it, but they could get creative in the way that they have that position there, whether it's pulling somebody off of a lunch duty and say, hey, your duty for the first quarter is to work with teachers and get them, you know, inspired to use some technology in the classroom to enhance their lessons. So you can get creative as a school district and make that happen. And that's what I'm encouraging everyone to do, because the position, I think, is just an awesome position to have and a great support blanket for the teachers. And if you build those relationships, it's like the field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. If you build that foundation, teachers will keep coming back. And that's what I'm finding out right now.
Yeah. And for school districts not to consider having a tech coach when we're 20 years into the 21st century, it's, you know, unfathomable. Because, I mean, just having been in education since the early 2000s and knowing the changes and just, you know, I've usually worked in schools that only have like a tech person, right? They can fix problems with IT, but they don't help you like when you're wanting to figure out how to use technology more. And a lot of the teacher professional goals are around technology.
Well, we also have been incorporating more one-to-one programs. It's more and more common that, and you know, I will acknowledge the fact that there is a technology divide across the states. That's important. We have to acknowledge that. We also have to acknowledge that in order to get that, sometimes we have to be creative in the ways that we find that. And I'm just hoping that our leadership can come together and find a way to find creative solutions to help solve this problem. But once you do have that, once you incorporate one-to-one technology, something that should be incorporated with that, alongside of that, to support that is a tech coach. Mm-hmm. And whether you want to call them teachers on special assignments, TOSAs, or ed tech coaches, mm-hmm. or whatever it may be, to not have that person there, in my opinion, is setting up a system to not be as glorious as it possibly could, not mm-hmm. reach those heights or those milestones that it could. Mm-hmm. So administrators out there, find creative ways. That's mm-hmm. my call. That's my call out. That's my shout out. Find creative ways to get these people in these positions, and then don't strap on any type of evaluation piece on there. Cause that's the other thing I see. We're making those, that person, the administrator or supervisor, and they're strapping on evaluation to it. Evaluation can't be with the ed tech coach, because you want someone that isn't intimidated mm-hmm. and finds them as an ally. So mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I guess rant over there.
Well, I mean, that's very important to say, because somebody can be hired as a TOSA, but they're not an assistant principal, and they, you know, they shouldn't be doing evaluations. But I know, you know, there are some places that will probably like do 50% ed tech coach and, you know, 50% whatnot, right? And when you're coaching, just as an instructional coach would, yeah, you're not evaluating, you're supporting and being a mentor. So yeah, that's so important to remember. And as we wrap up, out of everything we talked about on the podcast today, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
I'm big with reflection. I'm big on quotes. And I'm going to throw a Rudyard Kipling quote out there. He was an English short story writer and poet. The strength of the wolf is in the pack, and the strength of the pack is in the wolf. And I brought this one out because I talked about Isle Royal, and I talked about, which has the Moose and Wolf reference. And mm-hmm. I also talked about us as teachers being better together. So the strength of the wolf is in the pack. So whether you're considering your school or your district or all teachers, the strength is in us all as a mm-hmm. collective unit. And the second part of the quote, the strength of the pack is in the wolf. So the stronger you can make the individual wolf, makes mm-hmm. the pack that much stronger. So my shout out here is just everyone is worth something, all right? Mm-hmm. Everyone has good in them. Every teacher out there has some type of a characteristic, skill, trait, lesson, whatever that they could share. And I would just encourage people to keep sharing, because by sharing, we're all becoming stronger. We're all becoming better. And that's going to help our little ones and our teens and our tweens and all those educated, students become just that much better, which hopefully will make this world just that much better.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it when people include quotes and, you know, analyze them, and you kind of broke that down. So thank you for that. And where can people connect with you and find you online?
Yeah. So the biggest spot for me is I'm on Twitter a lot. You could go at Geist Got Teched on Twitter, or at We Got Teched is the podcast one. You ask me any question, I'll get back to you. And, you know, if you have a tech need, where mm-hmm. you're trying to find a tech tool that you, or a function of a tech tool that you mm-hmm. can't find that tech tool, let us know. Mm-hmm. Nick and I will get back to you. We'll make an episode out of it typically, because that's a lot of our motivation comes from questions that teachers ask. Because if one teacher is asking it, I bet you that there's others that are wondering the same thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that's the best way, just over at Geist Got Teched on Twitter.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. It was a pleasure learning about your work and your passion for EduTech.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I had a great time.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.